the thing about beavers, there's a couple cool things about them that I always like to kind of illustrate. One, they are the second largest rodent in the world. I mean, we got the capybara, which is in South America, which is that large, large rodent that runs around the swamps in the Amazon. And then there's the beaver, and the beaver can get up to 60 pounds in this area, and I've heard even some records as large as 90 pounds. I mean, that's a big animal, and that's out there here in the lakes, land between lakes, and it's easy to see. They're conspicuous. A lot of times you'll see them swimming across a lake, and maybe just their nose, and then kind of the tail sign that there's a beaver around is that if you get too close, one of the things that they do, because they're a very family-oriented animal, is they will slap that flat tail of theirs, and that is a warning to the rest of their family that there's danger nearby, which we are. And that's how most people find out at first that there's a beaver, because just the tip of their nose or the top of their head kind of sticks out of that water.
What does a beaver eat, and what, if anything, likes to eat beavers?
So the beavers, being the second largest rodent in the world, there's not a lot of things that do eat it, at least particularly in this part of the country. You might get a coyote that might get lucky catching and taking a beaver off and predate upon it. Maybe out west, you get cougar, you get some of the wolves. I know that there's a whole pack of wolves in Yellowstone that have gotten very good at hunting beavers out there. And then, of course, there's bears. And so one of the couple of things that those animals do is they build their lodges pretty industrial. The ones out west that have a lot of predators usually put their lodges out in the middle of the lake, and it's kind of like a little island. The ones here do bank lodges, so you'll see like a big giant pile of sticks up against the bank, and they have an underwater entrance. It'd still be very difficult for, even if we had black bear and cougar and wolves here, for them to break into, but it's a little bit easier when it's on land. As far as their diet, beavers, a lot of people think they eat wood. They actually don't eat wood. They eat the bark, the living part of a tree. They eat a lot of twigs. They eat a lot of leaves. They eat a lot of aquatic vegetation. If you've ever come out to land between lakes and gone to Honker Lake, you might see all these big giant lily pads out there. Those lily pads and cattails form almost like little potatoes or tubers in the mud, and that's a popular item for beavers. One of my favorite facts about beavers is how they plan ahead. And one of the things that they do is during the fall, before the trees start losing their leaves and stuff, and part of the summer, they will actually take branches with leaves on it from the trees that they felled and go to the bottom of the lake, which is much cooler, usually about several degrees cooler, in the upper 30s and lower 40s, and shove those branches into the bottom of the lake. And what that does is all winter long, even if that lake freezes over, they have a fresh supply of food. It's like their own individual refrigerator. And that's how they store food, like a squirrel stores food, maybe in a cache in a tree. Beavers stick it at the bottom of a lake into the mud.
That's really smart.
Yeah. And it keeps it pretty fresh. It keeps it pretty fresh. So they can actually drag that branch back to the lodge, and the whole family can eat. A group of beavers, it's called a colony. And usually it's mom, dad, the kids, and a teenager who never left home. It's usually what they have. So I saw a picture this year of six beavers working on a lodge here at Honker Lake.
Are beavers largely intelligent animals?
I would say so. Yeah, they're very industrious, as everybody knows. Busy as a beaver, they're always thinking about how to improve things. Now, whether they're conscious of what they're doing impacts other things. They definitely are very good at what they do, which is engineering that dam, building that lodge, and kind of thinking ahead for the winter. And that, when it comes to animals and animal intelligence, that does take quite a bit of intelligence and quite a bit of leaps to be able to do all those different things. Some of it's instinctual a little bit, like if you go to a beaver lodge or beaver dam, excuse me, and say you take out some of the sticks, so it creates a little bit of a flow of water, that sound makes them go crazy and they'll actually go repair that overnight. So you can kind of try to damage that dam, but it's pretty impossible because the next day they'll be right at it. That flowing water is a sound they do not like to hear.
Do beavers get along well with their neighbors?
Actually, they do. Quite a few other animals, you know, there's a term in biology called keystone species. That means one individual species impacts a lot of other species. And without that animal being in that ecosystem, those other species may not exist or would have a very difficult time surviving. And so there are so many species that are dependent upon a beaver from creating their little wetlands, their beaver ponds. You know, that's everything from a wood duck to turtles. Swans like to build their nests on top of lodges. Some of the snakes, obviously fish. Many of the plants that grow along that stream were dependent upon beavers. One of the some of the coolest stories that I've been reading lately, there was a recent book that came out, and it was talking about repopulating beavers out west. And probably one of the most impactful animals in our country is the beaver because of the fur trade. They use so much of the beaver pelts in Europe that it basically drew across the country pioneerism. You know, that was such a big draw. It was almost like a gold rush except for the fur of an animal. And it pretty much wiped a lot of the beavers out in the western part of the United States. And one of the things that they're finding out now, especially at the dry west and the fact that they're getting fires, that when they introduce beavers back into the ecosystem, it's bringing up the water table, and it's making those places that may have burned or had struggled in the past do a lot better. Yellowstone is a good example of that. In one story, they've even parachuted, this is in Ohio, Idaho, they even parachuted beavers in into the backcountry there and made these special kind of, not just parachutes, but traps that would hold the beavers. And when they landed, it would open up the door and the beavers would be able to escape. Believe it or not, as crazy as an idea as that is, it actually worked. They only lost one beaver, which happened to chew through the wooden case.
You've had a couple of the most interesting animal facts we've ever had today on beavers. I had no idea they were such an international animals of mystery.
Yeah, you know, and it's a species that kind of disappeared from the Land Between Lakes area. They reintroduced them into Land Between Lakes on Honker Lake in the 30s. They brought in about 30 to 35 beavers from Wisconsin. Now, there might have been beavers here. They may have not all been extinct in this area, but they brought in extra ones that populated this area. And they do increase the amount of wildlife that we get to see here at Land Between Lakes. And, you know, I always encourage people to come out. That's, you know, one of the best things that you can do is come out here and go for a canoe or kayak trip on Honker, Hematite, or Energy Lakes. You know, especially in the evening hours, it's very easy to see them during that time period. Or walk Hematite Trail or Honker Trail and get to see them because there's plenty of lodges all along both of those lakes. And the entire back of Energy Lake is a giant beaver marsh. So if you get a kayak and go towards the back of it, you'll have no problem seeing these wonderful animals.